The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I want to start today with an article from AARP, the magazine, featuring Glenn Close. The actress, 77, riffs on growing up in a cult, her path to Hollywood, stardom, and finding solace in nature and family. And she's been in a 2025 Movie for Grown-Ups Career Achievement winner. And there's a picture of her sitting on the hood of a car with her legs crossed. She's got on boots and jeans and a hat and a big smile on her face. She's in Belgrave, Montana. And the picture was taken September 19th, 2024. Glenn Close peers through the windshield of her pickup and surveys a smoky Montana sky. "We've got fires all around," she says, as she navigates the road through the haze, past bucolic fields of wheat and quaint schoolhouses. Her faithful Havanese dog, Sir Pippin, perched by her side. Even though she is used to a dramatic scene, the actress is stirred by the visuals en route to her plot of land in tiny Belgrade, Montana, nestled between the Bridger Mountains and the winding East Gallatin River. "It reminds me of a poem," she continues, reciting lines from Yeats, something about gardens, chaos, and survival. Arriving at an isolated homestead with old barns, a weathered granary, and a creek running through it, Close, 77, hops out, Pip closely following. Close is petite, but somehow rugged as a farmhand in her faded jeans, plain shirt, and vintage-inspired sunglasses. Her cropped silver hair is brushed away from her patrician cheekbones and placid face, a canvas for a multitude of characters audiences have loved and loved to hate over the years. The actress has been living in nearby Bozeman since 2019 and is now building a second house on this bit of rural paradise. Here, she's surrounded by family. Three of her four siblings and her daughter Annie live a stone's throw away and far from the maddening crowds of Hollywood and Manhattan. "I need nature to survive," she sighs, giving Pip a pet. "This is our sanctuary." It's understandable that she would gravitate to such a serene haven. The actress, 50 years in film, television, and stage, are populated by chilling characters that have kept generations of audiences at the edge of their seats. Jilted, rabbit-killing, Alex Forrest in Fatal Attraction, "I'm not going to be ignored, Dan." Villainous 18th-century French noblewoman Marquise Isabelle de Montreuil in Dangerous Liaisons, and recently the demon-possessed grandma in The Deliverance, to name a few. But she's also known for her sturdy, salt-of-the-earth women, perhaps more like Close herself, who struggle against adversity or oppression, personified by the likes of Midwestern mail-order bride Sarah Wheaton and Sarah Plain and Tall. They were the kinds of performances that inspired Vanity Fair to dub Close one of the great actresses of our time and enabled her to accumulate so far 8 Oscar nominations and a slew of Emmy, Golden Globe, and SAG awards. "I honestly don't think about awards that much," she says, as she hauls a cooler from the back of her truck and swings it onto a wooden picnic table by the creek. "She's packed lunch for us, tuna and apple salad with cinnamon donuts. I feel I've done a good job if my work is resonating with people." Having said that, she's delighted about her Career Achievement Award, which she will accept at AARP's upcoming Movies for Grown-Ups Awards, because she, too, gets frustrated when she turns on the TV and can't find something good to watch, something for grown-ups. "It's great to accept this award. My sister Jessie and I watched an old movie last night, and God, it was so wonderful. What was it called? Afterwards, we said, boy, they used to make really good movies. She texted the next day with the title, My Cousin Vinny. We laughed a lot. Hollywood and forecloses, Hollywood, and for that matter, Montana, is a million miles away from Close's original story. She was born and raised in Greenwich, Connecticut, the daughter of well-known surgeon William T. Close and socialite philanthropist Bettine Moore Close. Close spent her first 7 years roaming the New England countryside, playing pretend with her sister Tina. We put on puppet shows, made things up, we acted all day long. It just came naturally. Growing up, we had no problems finding good stuff to watch on TV, like various fairy tales and the Mickey Mouse Club. I felt that I could do whatever any of those kids were doing on film, she says. At seven, Close's idyllic childhood was upended when her parents joined MRI, Moral Rearmament, a movement she now calls a religious cult. And she moved to Switzerland and Africa before returning to America as a teen to study at Rosemary Hall, an elite Connecticut boarding school. Still, until her early 20s, Close was immersed in the movement, a controlling experience that she describes as emotionally harmful. It made me feel, and I think still feel, like I'm on the outside looking in, she says reflectively. Her passion for acting helped Close escape MRA's hold. In 1970, she enrolled at the College of William and Mary in Virginia to study acting and anthropology. I never thought about acting in movies back then, she says. Broadway beckoned first. But in 1980, when she was starring in the Broadway musical Barnum, nabbing her first Tony nomination, she was spotted by the film director, George Roy Hill. He cast Close in The World According to Garp in 1982, in the role of Jenny Fields, mother of Robin Williams Garp, for her film debut. The hardest thing for me was where to put all my energy, she says of the transition from theater. I was used to creating spinning molecules from the stage to the back seats, and you have this bank of energy in your body, which would blow out the camera if you had that on film. She figured it out. Her performance in Garp earned Close her first Best Supporting Actress Oscar nod, and her career surged upward. Two of her next three films, The Big Chill in 1983 and The Natural, a 1984 baseball drama co-starring Robert Redford, brought two more Oscar nominations for Best Supporting Actress. 3 years later, Close's terrifying turn in Fatal Attraction, 1987, not only scared the shit out of men everywhere, as she puts it, but also brought her first Best Actress nomination. Over the next three decades, she would go on to deliver startling good performances in film and on television in Damages, Albert Nobbs, and Hillbilly Elegy. Three Emmys and four more Oscar nominations followed. She has still not won an Oscar. She says, it's no big deal. I'd much rather be in the room again and again rather than win it once and never show up again, she says. The honor is to be with the people who are making the work that our audience feels is worthy. Meanwhile, her personal life has ebbed and flowed. She has been married three times and became a mother at 41 to her daughter Annie in 1988. Dad is film producer John Stark. I weaned Annie at 7 weeks old when I went to film Dangerous Liaisons, Close recalls. She grew up on movie sets and on stage, in dressing rooms and theaters. She was always near people who loved her. Now 36, Annie holds her own cooking show, The Mountain Kitchen, and co-stars with Close in The Wife in 2017. Close has revealed that she suffers from depression occasionally, and in 2010, after her sister Jessie was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and her nephew with schizoaffective disorder, she co-founded a nonprofit, Bring Change to Mind, to help destigmatize mental illness. People are more aware of the importance of mental health, she says, but we still don't have the institutions to help people get better and then stay well. While Close has gathered her family in Montana, she also believes in giving people, including herself, space. After her marriages and several long-term partners, she's currently single, and that's just fine. Katharine Hepburn said something like, "Men and women should live next to each other and visit every now and then," she says with a laugh. Throughout her career, Close has wanted to please audiences and sometimes startle them. The buzz in the news the day we chat is her latest role as a Satan-fighting grandma in the horror flick The Deliverance, and a nasty line she spits out while thrashing about, demonically possessed. It shocked everyone, she says, of her character. It's a reference to a female body part. I'm glad. But Close's gaze is already on the horizon, specifically on her upcoming film role as Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard. She first played the tragic, once famous, now fading actress on Broadway 30 years ago and won a Tony. Norma Desmond is like Hamlet, says Close, one of the greatest roles ever written for a woman. Unlike Desmond, though, Close has... Sorry about the beeping, folks. A technical glitch. Unlike Desmond, though, Close has no intention of fading away. It's ironic that now at 77, I'm getting the best roles of my life, she says. I'm having the time of my life. Our picnic at an end, Close scans the clearing sky and the land and mountains before her. She points to three twisted apple trees dotted with red. I call them the sisters, she says. They were planted by the first homesteaders here in the late 1800s. They still bear fruit, which is a miracle, because we've been ravaged by bears over the years and are practically hollow. Gardens, chaos, and survival. The actress tosses Pip half of her uneaten donut, excuses herself, and disappears into a weather-beaten barn. She's got chores to do before sundown. Natasha Stoyanov is an award-winning journalist and New York Times best-selling co-author of 15 books who frequently writes about celebrities and culture for AARP, the magazine. On staff at People magazine for a dozen years, she has freelanced for the Washington Post, USA Today, and Time. Now we have iconic Close films. The Big Chill, 1983, Close nabbed her second Oscar nod for anchoring a Murderer's Row ensemble cast in this bittersweet boomer classic. Fatal Attraction, 1987, the bunny-boiling other woman, Close's Alex Forrest, seduces a married man, Michael Douglas, and becomes the subject of a 1001 op-ed pieces about 80s feminism. 101 Dalmatians, 1996, as the cackling Cruella de Vil, Close tap dances the fine line between comedy and camp, breeding spotted puppies for their fur. The Wife, in 2017, Close earned the seventh of her eight unrequited Oscar noms for this slow-simmering drama about the overlooked spouse of a Nobel Prize-winning novelist, Jonathan Pryce, whose work she deserves more than a little credit for. And that bit was by Chris Nashosky. Now, let's look at an article under the heading of Your Health from AARP The Bulletin. Your mind on Wordle. Word games may or may not prevent dementia, but they offer many other benefits to the psyche. One drizzly January morning in 2022, Mark Carriel took a few sips of coffee, pulled out his phone, opened his New York Times app, and began to Wordle. He had never played before, but it seemed like everyone around him was doing it. Those cheery green and yellow Wordle squares kept colorizing his Facebook feed. He wondered what he was missing. Carriel, 68, an accountant in Houston, was also thinking about his father, who had died 2 years earlier at the age of 92. In the last years of his life, his memory had slowly dimmed. If there's anything that I can do to keep my mind as sharp as possible, I will do it, Cariel recalls thinking. So that was, either consciously or subconsciously, a reason for me to start doing this. After conquering his first Wordle, barely, he felt a rush of victory and posted the results on Facebook. Today, Cariel's Facebook is mostly a daily diary of his 700-plus Wordles, with a few Go Texans thrown in during football season. Wordle is kind of like the love child of Wheel of Fortune and Hangman. You get a maximum of 6 tries to guess a 5-letter word. Cariel has also started playing Connections, another New York Times game, which asks players to group 4 words with similar themes. They can be mindbenders. 1. What do ancestry, broth, cattle, and merchandise have in common? 2. How about capital, faith, foot, and mole? Like Cariel, many of us think that in some vague way, puzzles are like a daily vitamin for the brain, a tool for staving off decline. An entire brain game industry peddles the notion that by doing its daily puzzles, all sorts of measurable brain benefits will emerge. Whether or not puzzles can actually prevent dementia, or at least make you sharper, smarter, and wiser, has confounded researchers for decades. But when it comes to the jigsaw puzzles, crosswords, and word finds we grew up with, as well as the latest online craze, researchers say they can indeed help your brain, just not in the ways you might think. Though it would be great if scratching out answers on a crossword or pecking them out on your phone could make a significant impact on your dementia risk, evidence suggests they're not enough, says psychology researcher Jennifer O'Brien of the University of South Florida. O'Brien studies brain training using computer programs that require you to process incoming information and make decisions. She leads a $44.5 million study called PACT, P-A-C-T, for preventing Alzheimer's with cognitive training, funded by the National Institute on Aging. The study is enrolling 7,600 volunteers age 65 and older. It involves a variety of computer-based games and will track cognitive changes. But these tools have more in common with video games than crossword puzzles, O'Brien explains. Even if solving the daily Wordle or your favorite crossword won't protect you from age-related cognitive decline, your brain still gets benefits from the exercises, says Michael Valensky, clinical assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral health at Ohio State University in Columbus. That aha moment when you get the answer can trigger a tiny burst of dopamine, one of the key chemicals involved in the brain's reward system, the neural circuitry that makes us feel good from the things such as sex or chocolate. That pathway is very much the same as some of the other pleasure pathways, Valensky says. A shortage of dopamine is one of the hallmarks of Parkinson's disease, and dopamine also plays a role in sleep, mood, and pain tolerance. We humans are programmed to want to satisfy our own curiosity, says Chantel Pratt, professor of psychology, neuroscience, and linguistics at the University of Washington, who has studied how the brain functions as people solve riddles. Studies have posed trivia questions to people while they are in brain scanners, then watched how the brain responds when tantalized about the answers. The same circuit responds if you put a hungry person in the scanner and show them pictures of different kinds of food and say, "How much do you want a candy bar or a cheeseburger?" Pratt says. Solving a puzzle gives us a hit of satisfaction. The emphasis on brain training and possible cognitive boosts overshadows what puzzles really are all about, And that's stress release, says Marcel Denisi, professor of semiotics and linguistic anthropology at the University of Toronto and the author of several books on puzzles. When you start a jigsaw puzzle, all these pieces scattered all over, that's chaos, he says. You put it all together into the same image, the solution to the jigsaw puzzle, all of a sudden you feel accomplishment. The chaos dissipates. And temporarily you have order. That's why many popular puzzles show scenes of retreat, a beach, a cozy chair by a fire, a Monet-like spring garden. So often in life, problems don't have a clear solution, Ohio State's Vilinsky says. The cool thing about a puzzle is you can solve it. There's an answer. There's something complete. Now, this article continues on a bit long for today's program, so we will finish it next time. But first, let's look at the answers to the riddles. Blank hill, capital, faith, mole, foot. That was the first one. The answer was hill, like capital hill, faith hill, mole hill, foot hill. The second one was types of stock. Ancestry, broth, cattle, merchandise. And the third one is central bankers. Now we know. Now let's look at a few short items. This from AARP, the Bulletin. It's great ways to save on shopping. And let's look at time your purchases. You don't have to wait for the holiday shopping season. For instance, on November 20th, 2023, 4 days before Black Friday, electronics were already marked down 24.1%, toys were down 23.8%, and apparel prices were down 20.8%, according to Adobe Shopping data. Follow favorite retailers. Consider joining your favorite retailers' email lists and following them on social media. Signing up for a retailer's loyalty program can provide access to more savings. Use cashback portals. Coupon sites have evolved, and today's shopping portals give consumers free access to cashback deals, coupons, and other discounts. You can shop on your computer or mobile device at popular portals such as Coupon Cabin, Ibotta, Rakuten, Remail Me Not, Retail Me Not, and Top Cash Back. Search for coupon codes. The internet can be a treasure trove of coupon codes. Search the retailer's name and coupon codes. Also, check out websites such as Retail Me Not, The Crazy with a K, Coupon Lady, and Coupon Cabin before making online purchases. Buy used electronics. Retailers, including Amazon, Target, and Walmart, sell certified refurbished electronics at discounted prices year-round. Ask about a warranty, which is often available. Hunt for gift card deals. Gift cards have become coveted holiday presents, research by the National Retail Foundation shows. It often pays to wait until December to purchase them, when many businesses offer discounted cards to drum up business. Now, here's some tips. Smart ways to shop safely online. Steer clear of deep discounts and sale ends soon urgency. Emails, texts, and social media messages advertising unusually large price cuts can be a tip-off that an item is counterfeit. Don't rely completely on price or customer ratings. Some scammers charge full price for fakes to deceive buyers and manage to accrue or fake positive customer ratings. Don't click on links in online solicitations. Look up seller websites online or use the URL on a bill or store credit card. Then make sure that the brand name is spelled correctly in the URL and that there's a lock icon before it indicating the site is secure for credit card transactions. check for customer service contact information and a place to click for returns. Search the name of an unfamiliar third-party seller online with the word scam or complaint or review to check for problems. Double-check safety seals. Look up a certification company's safety seal on a product before you buy it to make sure it's genuine. And finally, buy with a credit card. Don't purchase from sellers who want payment by gift card, peer-to-peer apps, or cryptocurrency. And here's a short item on something that North Carolina is doing about aging well. Aging Well North Carolina officials have issued a comprehensive plan for aging that outlines steps state agencies should take to meet the needs of the state's growing older population. The All Ages, All Stages NC Blueprint calls for prioritizing home and community-based services, increasing support for family caregivers, expanding housing options, and strengthening the healthcare workforce, among other actions. You can find more information at ncdhhs.gov/I'm still here. And now to finish out our time, a couple of quotes. Anybody that says words hurt has never been punched in the face. That was by Chris Rock, who's 59. When I was young, I was a perfectionist to the degree where it's painful. I've learned as I grow older that I have to let a lot go. That's from Carol Kane, 72. No farewell tour for the E Street Band. Farewell to what? Thousands of people screaming your name? That was Bruce Springsteen, 75. I never saw success as results. Sometimes the results aren't there, but you feel good because you got better. That was actor Vince Vaughn, 54. Be there for your kids. Say yes. Say yes as much as you can. Stephen King, 77. We all fall and rise over and over. Life's a roller coaster, and what a beautiful ride it is. Drew Barrymore, 49. Would you sit in makeup for 6 hours at 1 a.m. if you didn't love what you're doing? Spike Lee, 67. I'm not letting anyone else put on the pointy hat and beard if I can help it. Lord of the Rings actor Ian McKellen, 85, on holding off retirement. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.